most of the kids. Is Logan still here? Logan, would you come up here a minute? Put you on the spot, didn't I? I want you to come all the way up here. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to give you this. Okay? You're like, okay. And I promise to give you these other four sometime. Do you believe me?
Yeah.
You trust me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can go back to your seat. That's all I needed to know. I want to start with prayer, but I wanted to get that out of the way because I want him to wait a little longer. Isn't that torture? Especially for a kid around, you know, it's just mean-spirited, but I guess I'm just good at that. So let's go together in prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us here today, and we are so grateful that you are a God that not only hears but answers our prayers. Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to come and indwell this building right now so that everything that is said and done is for your honor and glory. Hide me behind the cross of Jesus, Lord. I don't want people to see Mary, and if they leave and remember nothing about Mary, as long as they remember everything about you. So we want to put you at the forefront, first and foremost, because you are a great and awesome and loving God, and we love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Now, Logan, you know that I will give you the rest of those bills, right? He's willing to wait for them. If it takes me 5 years, you're willing to wait for the rest of that money, huh? But he trusts me. Since the beginning of time, man has been waiting. Abraham waited a long time before the Lord gave him any children. The Israelites waited for over 400 years to be delivered out of Egypt. And David waited 15 years from the time he was anointed to the time he became king. And some Jews are still waiting for the Messiah. You know, we believe he has come in the form of Jesus Christ, but there's a lot of Jews who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they are still waiting patiently. These are just examples of people who have gone before us who had to wait. And waiting is hard. It requires a lot of patience. How many of you remember the saying, Lord, give me patience, or I want Lord, grant me patience, and I want it now. That's what it is. Well, most of us feel that way at one time or another. Point number one, waiting on the Lord requires trust. And I think this is the hardest thing, folks. Christians deal with trust every day. Many of us have heard from the Lord words from prophets about things that are going on, things that are going to transpire, or how the Lord's going to answer our prayers. Now, a lot of people can poo-poo that off, but many of us hold on to that. And we believe that. And we are waiting on the Lord to fulfill those prophecies. Many times we begin to feel like the Lord isn't going to answer them, though. Many times we sit and say, what is taking him so long? Doesn't he realize how long we have been waiting on this? If he doesn't do something pretty soon, we're going to look stupid because we're believing on these prophets who heard from God, and many of us heard him also. But if you wait too long, then you feel like you're a fool. Anybody else feel that way? You believe for something, you believe for something, you believe for something, and it doesn't come to pass, and you start getting frustrated. The problem is, people, God is not bound by our timeline. God is not bound by a timeline. God is only bound by his purpose. He has a purpose and a plan, and he asks us to wait on him. He asks us to trust him. He asks us to know that he will fulfill his purpose. Now, waiting's not easy, and the effects of not waiting can be far more dangerous and devastating than the waiting. For example, if you turn into Genesis 17 with me, if you have your Bibles, or your little electronic devices. In Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." So God had made a promise to Abraham that he was going to have descendants. At one point it says as many as the stars in the sky. Now that took time. And unfortunately, Abraham and Sarah were old. Now, listen, I was expecting when I was 40 years old, and I thought that was pretty old. But to be in your 90s or 100, now I understand where they were coming from. They were getting very old. So Sarah decided she was going to take matters into her own hand, and she presented her handmaiden, Hagar, to Abraham. She was just trying to help God along a little bit. Now, I don't think she had any evil intentions from it. I think she thought she was doing the absolute best. You know, this man is supposed to be the father of many nations, and we're drying up. So she felt she was helping God along a little bit. The problem is God didn't ask her for help. He didn't ask her to do anything to help him. And because of that, we are still suffering the long-term consequences of that decision. Because of that son, Ishmael, he became the father of the Arab nations and the Muslims, all combined. And what religion? Anybody? Islam. So we are still reaping what Sarah and Abraham did way back then. And then let's not forget the Israelites. Now the Lord had just delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. They had seen the Red Sea get parted. They walked through it. They watched water come out of a rock. Now, you know, we've got the Mississippi River here, but who has ever seen water pour out of a rock? Anybody? Didn't think so. So this had happened. Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments and the instructions from God on how people should live. Are y'all with me? From the time they left Egypt to the time Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, it had only been about 3 months. And the Israelites got antsy. It was taking Moses a long time up there. They were getting frustrated. And so they said to Aaron, "We want you to make us an idol." So he had them bring all their gold, their earrings, their rings, anything else that was gold. He had them bring, and he fashioned a golden calf for them. Seriously, 3 months or a little more. I want you to turn with me to Exodus 32. And starting at verse 1. Just so you know, I'm not making this stuff up. I don't want you people thinking I'm freelancing here. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, I want you to pay attention to this, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." Now, I got to tell you something. God had just delivered them from Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea on dry ground, gave them a drink of water out of a rock, but they weren't giving God the credit for bringing them out of Egypt. They wanted to give their own gods, the golden calf, the credit, "Who brought you up out of Egypt." Now I want you to skip down to verse 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." So Moses spends time pleading with the Lord on behalf of the people. Well, if you continue reading on, that the Israelites tried to move on in their own strength. The Lord had the Levites strap swords to their sides and go out and start killing them. He was angry. 3,000 Israelites were killed by the sword just that day. He was frustrated and angry with them. And then if you turn to verse 33 of Exodus 32, this is what the Lord replied to Moses. "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when it comes time for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin." Now, that is just a fraction of what happened to the Israelites, because they wouldn't wait on the Lord. They ended up, almost all of them from that generation, never saw the promised land because of their disobedience. Now, I'm not judging the Israelites. Many times I have to say the waiting is excruciating, and I myself am still waiting on that trust issue. I've said it before. Faith is not knowing that God can do something. It is believing that he will do something. How many of you believe that? Number two, waiting reminds us that God is in control. I've got a newsflash for all of you. You and I are not in control. We don't see the beginning from the end. We don't see how God is using situations in our lives, in the world, for his ultimate plan. We're living it, we're walking through it day by day, but we don't know what he is using to fulfill his purpose. We can only see the immediate, not the long term. God is in charge of everything. Now, this is where I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. I am a fixer. When problems happen, my brain will go to, okay, what's the worst case scenario that can happen? And okay, if that's as bad, that if that's the worst it can get, how can I fix this? How can we deal with this? What is our game plan to take care of things? Does anybody else do that? There we go. There are mostly moms. So, that's how I am. That's how I'm wired. But recently, I had an anxiety attack. Now, I've always been prone to some worry. I've always been prone to a lot of worry. Before he says anything. But I have never dealt with an anxiety attack before. Has anyone else here ever had one? Oh, they're awful. They are awful. It was like one of the most terrible things I've ever had to deal with. I felt like I was in a black hole, and I couldn't find my way out of it. It was like I would go to worst case scenario and could not find any way to fix it. My fixer was broke. Honestly, I think I drove my family kind of nuts through it, because they would tell me things that would bring me, I know, it's going to be okay. And my brain would still go to that. And then you have people say, well, why didn't you just pray about it and give it to the Lord? Well, I wish I'd have thought about that. What do you think? Seriously? I prayed. It's amazing to me that people think you don't consider the spiritual side of things when you're married to a pastor. So anyway, so you can just call me an Israelite, because at the time I felt just like an Israelite. I've seen the goodness of the Lord. He has brought us through so many things. He has redeemed us and saved us and fixed everything. When I thought I was fixing it, it was really him fixing it, but I would like to take the credit. And, you know, I saw all those things, and yet, I failed in trusting. I didn't live through what the Israelites lived through. I didn't have to deal with being hungry and not knowing where food was coming from. So I'm going to give them grace. Through it all, I learned I'm not in control. I don't have this. God's got it. And I'm sure I will have more times in my life where I will be dealing with these things and trying to fix things. But I hope I have learned enough from the Lord through that last episode to be assured and not have, I never want to go through another anxiety attack. Let's just put it that way. Okay, what's going on in our world today? It's out of our control. It just flat out is out of our control. We can do our best to vote correctly, which is what we have to be doing. I'm not sugarcoating that. We need to be prepared for worst case scenarios. Pastor has said over and over throughout the years, please, people, prepare. Be prepared, not just in the physical, but in the heart, emotionally, spiritually. Be prepared for any of the problems that come our way. Stand for what's right. It's time Christians quit being silent. We need to talk. When the person in the grocery store makes some comment about how, you know, these terrible people who vote against abortion, we need to start speaking up. We are silent. We have been silent too long. We need to stand up for what's right. But ultimately, the problems in this world can only be fixed by the Father, by our Lord. We need to pray, pray, pray for our country and for this world. We need to listen to what God instructs us to do. Don't be Sarah and Abraham and go out and try and fix it on their own. Listen. Pray and obey. Listen to what God is telling you to do. And then wait on Him. It's terribly hard. But wait for the fulfillment of His prophecies. They will come. Number three, waiting on God allows Him to do His work. It's hard for us to remember that God's timing is best. It's just hard. We think our timing is better than His. But I got news for you. He's smarter than us. Just like a parent instructs its children, his children, don't do this, don't do that, don't touch this, don't walk out in the street, don't be stupid. You know, that is what God is doing for us. He's instructing us. He's saying, wait on me, I've got this. I've got it. I was in a drive-through at a bank. And I'm waiting, and I'm thinking about things. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. And I look in front of me, and the van in front of me has one of these covers around the license plate, and it says, don't worry, I got this. God. Signed God. I thought, wow. Even when I'm in the car being stupid, He can send me a note. It was like the beams from heaven came down on that old van, that old Dodge van in front of me, but the license plate was made of gold. Oh, this is great stuff. But that's what He's doing. That's what He's telling you. Don't be afraid. Just obey me. His timing is perfect. He is working. So what do we do in the meantime? I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay, and verse 12. And in my Bible, I don't know if it says it in yours, but it says final instructions. I love that when they point it out for me because I'm not sharp enough to figure it out on my own. And he says, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers, listen, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. And He will do it. Amen. That's what we keep doing until the fulfillment of the prophecy. We go on, one day at a time, one step at a time, but we believe and we hold fast to Jesus, and to his promises. I don't care if you have to hang on by your nails, by your fingernails. I don't care if it's by the skin of your teeth. Whatever adjectives you want to use, just hang on, because he will fulfill his promises. He cannot lie, and he will do it. Logan, come on up. I don't think I made him wait too long, did I? Well, you might get it. I can't find it. Just like God keeps his promises. You're welcome. He even said thank you. Praise Jesus. We need to keep our promises just like God keeps his to us. Let's pray. Father, you are a great God. You do not lie. You will never leave us or forsake us. You will take us to heaven one day to live with you. But in the meantime, you are here with us every step of the way. Build our faith. Holy Spirit, fill each and every person here today with the joy of the Lord, with your strength, with everything we need to be able to go through this day at a time living. Father, we ask for your hope. It sustains us. We ask for your joy that builds us up to carry on. And we ask most of all for your presence in our lives on a daily basis, Lord. We praise you and we thank you and we give you all honor and all glory for everything. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.